Hey guys, welcome and thanks for tuning in. My name is Richard Osborne and this is the Expert Language Trainer Podcast. Welcome to episode 1 of season 2 of the Expert Language Trainer Podcast with me, Richard Osborne. Wanted to split the podcast into seasons because the last season was a lot of me playing with the idea of podcasting and just kind of ranting the things that I would want to tell any new and starting teacher about language training. And there wasn't a lot of structure to it. So you can listen to the old season one, there's like 14, 16 episodes, which is the equivalent of about probably 8 hours of content. So it's quite a lot to try to find the little nuggets of truth. And actually, the first episode is based on a video, and the video inspired me to record this first episode. So I'll explain. The video that we're going to talk about today and the purpose of this podcast is a video from Gary Vaynerchuk. So I'm not going to be able to invite Gary onto the podcast to talk, so rather use one of his videos as kind of the guest on the podcast. So you'll find the link to the video in the description. And it's one of my favorite videos from Gary because he's a big player in the social media marketing industry and gives a huge amount of free advice to young, or not young, I don't know why I said young, people who want to start businesses. I said young because the video is called Advice to a Young Man, and it is about, it's a guy who he's trying to ask Gary some questions in a series that they're doing to get help on starting his business because he doesn't really know where to start, or he's got some content, he's putting it out on social media, but he's not really sure what to do with it, how to get investment, how to get started, you know, he's lacking funds. So it's a great video, and I'm going to talk a bit more about the content of the video. But one of the things that made me think about was I've listened to a lot of Gary V content. Of the thousands of pieces of content that he has out there, I've listened to a lot of it, and I know some of the best bits, certainly for me, or what I consider to be the kind of top 10 Gary V videos of all time. And I'm sure other people have aggregated a list of the top videos because, you know, you can, once you start listening to his stuff, you start getting a lot of repetition because he knows that you might not have necessarily listened to all of his episodes. So he's making the same key points over and over and over again to make sure that you really, you know, even if you come in at episode 100, you're still going to get the key points that were there in episode 1. So that's good. But at the same time, it's tricky for somebody who just needs to get some business advice. And I think there are some videos where when you watch them in isolation and you don't watch any of his other videos, you can actually get a huge amount of value just from this one video, as opposed to the hundreds of other videos where, you know, there's videos where he's talking about wine or he's talking about baseball cards and trading baseball cards. And they all have the same fundamental message, which is really good for, you know, fundamental learnings on how to be a good business owner and potentially an entrepreneur. But there are some where just, you know, it hits the mark. It's got all the advice. It's got a really concrete example where you really see exactly the kind of message he's trying to give that would launch you into having your own business. So I thought for my next season of podcasts, instead of ranting for 30 minutes about my thoughts in general, I'll try to put some sort of structure into it where I'm going to try to aggregate things. Is aggregate the word? To collate the things that I think are really, really, really useful for anybody who's following me, who is looking to develop themselves as a teacher, particularly those who want to develop themselves into online teaching, because I'm learning a lot about what it takes from a lot of different angles to be a successful online teacher. I started out with the tech side, which you can see if you look at my LinkedIn profile, I've got a ton of stuff on there about tech. I built my own e-learning platform. I've been doing successful e-learning for years. I've been doing particularly successful e-learning for 2 years as an independent teacher as opposed to working for a company. And I've got a lot of experience. I've traveled all over and I've spoken to loads of different e-learning companies and people who are in this industry and what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, or whatever. So I've done the years of work that you don't, as a list, you know, you who are listening, you as a teacher don't want to do because you don't want to take years out of your life to do that, risking financial ruin. So I'm able to pass on the tech side. There's also the teaching side, which is what the previous podcast season was about, which was what it takes to be a good teacher. So just even online or offline, a lot of those episodes were about what are the fundamental things that you need for being a good teacher. And I'm also able to bring in the business side now because I've got the experience of, you know, reading a lot of things, putting those things into practice, reading books about how to be a good business owner, putting them into practice, listening to people like Gary Vee, putting his advice into practice. You know, there'll be other people in this series who we'll talk about who are, because there are so many today. There are so many really thoughtful, genuinely caring and generous people out there today who are just giving away free advice because they want to help other people. It's obviously they have a vested interest in making themselves popular by people coming and saying, oh my God, you're amazing. I want to follow you. Give me more free advice. But there's an altruistic base to it. If everybody wins, I see that as a good game. You know, if Gary Vee is making a YouTube video and he gets 1 million people to follow and like it, but on the back of that, he wins a contract with Nike and starts promoting their, you know, managing their Facebook campaign or something like that and gets paid millions of dollars for it. For me, that's totally fair. For me, that's absolutely 100% what the world should be like. It's just, you know, people helping each other and us being valued for what we're doing to help each other and it being seen that we're honest about being altruistic, but also honest about life in general. We need to make money, we need to pay bills. And so if you can get all of those factors and be open and honest about all of those things, then I think that's great. And so Gary and other people will look at in this series to try to get the best episodes of what they've been doing for me to share with you what my take is on these particular things, and to try to maybe communicate a bit on that. I'm thinking of maybe starting a course about that, trying to get people together to talk about it in groups. I don't know. We'll see. You know, let's build it up and see how people react to this particular series, right? So I've already been rambling for 7 minutes, but this is the introduction to season two. So next time you listen, just skip ahead to 7 minutes and 20 seconds, and then we'll get started. So yeah, the video from Gary Vee, why do I think that's good? Without going too much into the details of who Gary Vee is, I wanted to go down through the key points that I wrote from his episode. Of things that I took away and I really questioned myself on and I asked myself about. So the first thing that he said that I think is really, really powerful is providing videos online. And this is a trap that I fell into, that I have fallen into, and I try not to fall into anymore, is the difference between recording a video that you think is giving somebody value when you're communicating advice through a sentence that begins with "you should," as opposed to "in my experience," or "I think," or "based on my conversations with these people, I believe." And that sounds a bit kind of vague, but it's so easy to do in language training. And today there's so much "you should" in language training. It's ridiculous. And I'm guilty of some of it too, saying you should be teaching online, you should be giving homeworks, you should be engaging with learners or whatever. And I think Gary is right. Once you switch it to a position of, this is my experience, this is what happened when I talked to this person, then it's not falsifiable, because you're not telling anybody. If I say "you should," if I say today, "you should talk to the learner when you start the course about what their overall objectives are and plan some sort of impact analysis at the end." That's one of my personal beliefs, but not something I've put into practice a lot. And I would like to put it into practice in the future, but I have no evidence to give. So you could easily falsify that and say, well, no, because learners don't need that, or it's not very, you know, friendly to the learning process. It'll be a hindrance more than it's a help, etc. So you very easily, anybody could come in and just, you know, challenge me on that, and I wouldn't be able to say anything about it. What I can say is, in my experience, I've stayed in contact with a lot of learners after the end of their training. And it's a funny thing that I've experienced that happens. You know, the one guy who I taught from a big company who was really, you know, he really did need English for his job. He really was. It was very important for him. He was doing a lot of calls, like at least once a week doing a call in English with Chinese partners or Eastern European partners. And we did this training, and he was always, you know, he took it really lightly, and he was really enjoying spending time with me, as I've talked about many times before, that learners often really enjoy spending time with the person who's training them, and not necessarily the actual content that they're being given, you know, but the actual social engagement with the person that they're talking to. And he, at the end of the course, I stayed in contact with him because I wanted him to help me to develop a new teaching technique, you know, doing teaching, going outside and teaching in public places, being, you know, doing preparation for, you know, what kind of food products exist in Marks and Spencer's, which is a pretty British food company, British supermarket company that exists also in France now. And we would then go to Marks and Spencer's after doing that work to actually put it into practice and to go around the shop and to try to find certain products. And I would give them tasks to do, you know, sort of treasure hunts and stuff like that. And so we stayed in contact, and you could see, and it was kind of sad, you know, we had a lot of respect for each other, but you could see that his English at the end, after the end of my training, hadn't really stuck. The training hadn't really stuck. Like the improvements that I felt he was making hadn't stuck. There were certain grammar points that we'd really worked on that he had a lot of trouble with that hadn't really stuck. And this was sort of in the middle of my teaching career, I guess. So, you know, I'm not going to make any excuses for it. There was just, I was doing what I thought was right. I was putting, you know, the effort in there to really hammer these grammar points home with him, telling him, you know, it's good if you don't make this mistake because it could be confused with another kind of tense, and maybe the person talking to you will have a hard time understanding, and you'll have more clarification. It'll take more time, etc. And then you could see after the training that that hadn't really stuck. So it's that I realized that not having a system of accountability in place, or not considering what you're teaching in the class might be quite boring and it might not really factor into the real world. Or did I tell him to go out and practice that point with somebody in the real world? Did I check next time if he had practiced that point? Could I have maybe asked him to record himself the next time he was speaking with someone and come and show me proof of what he's done? And then, you know, not just impact analysis, it's not just that. It's also, you know, weeks and weeks after the end of the training that I don't see him anymore. Is he still practicing that point? Is he still, you know, if I give him a test, for example, if I send him something he has to record himself, can he successfully record himself 2 months after the end of the training, still not making that grammar mistake? So that would be, you know, impact analysis. And I realized that that would have been at least a step in the right direction. And I'm not saying that it would have worked, but certainly not just having relied on my amazing teaching skills in the classroom. It wasn't enough. So that changed my mentality a lot about what I was doing. As high and mighty as I felt about what I was doing and the quality of what I was doing, I realized that you have very little control in the teaching process. So you may think you're the best teacher in the world. You may think you've got the best method, the best approach, whatever, best materials. You know, you've been rubber stamped by some certificate that says that you should be able to do the ultimate teaching, and that it'll really have a big impact and it'll be so much faster and so much more efficient and whatever. But it misses the point, which is that it doesn't matter what you do in the classroom. You don't know what impact that's going to have. And you don't know if a week later they'll still remember. And you can say, oh, there's science behind it, whatever. You go and test and find out. This is the only thing you can possibly do. You can't just assert that they're going to remember and that your teaching is better and that it's going to be more impactful and meaningful. That may be, and that's important, but, you know, step up, go and find out, go and, you know, show the proof, and who knows what that could actually do. I mean, there's a point of, you know, when we talk about it, another point that Gary makes is this guy is who he had on this YouTube video. He's offering as a business, he's offering this kind of social media business, like giving value to people, creating a lot of followers. And that's the business model. We're going to get a lot of followers and it's going to be huge, you know, and the other people have done it and they're making money. Gary's point was, okay, well, you know, and I found this so funny, and I think you should do this for yourself. You should sit and picture yourself sitting with Gary and imagine he puts the same question and point to you, right? Because I thought it was so, so clever. He says, okay, so you've got problems with money. The other guy said, you know, I've got money problems. I haven't got enough money. And he was like, I'll tell you what. What if I've got money. I'll give you money. What are you selling me? What am I investing in? So a picture, I mean, we worry so much about this stuff and we don't imagine it ever happening. And then imagine you actually are in a situation where you've got some miracle person in front of you like Gary who says, well, whatever, I've got money. You want money? I've got money. How much do you need? I'll give it to you. What am I investing in? What am I getting in return? What's going to be the long game here? So his point was, you know, what would happen if you invested in Gary Vee? What do you get in the end? Do you get a percentage of his speaker fees because he speaks a lot at conferences and he gets paid to do that? Do you get a percentage of his book deal? You know, where's the model? Where's the calculations? Where's the figures? And that's something that I think we're missing a lot. And so he was missing. This guy in the video couldn't respond to that question. You know, I'm going to get loads of followers. And Gary was like, well, you can get a lot of followers. Anybody can get a lot of followers. What is the vessel? What is that packaged in? What happens when you have a lot of followers? That's for me the most important. What happens? You're okay. Let's another scenario. Let's say, all right, I'm going to, you know, I'm an influencer. I'm on Instagram. You want to be an online teacher? I'll give you 100,000 followers today. I'm going to put your name out there. And by the end of the week, you'll have 100,000 followers. Then what? And that could be also the point of, then I'll ask them if they want some English training. No, okay, what's the vessel? What's going to make it different? What are you buying as somebody who's investing in your stuff? So for me personally, anything that I've ever created, like content-wise, has not been the selling point. People don't buy content, in my opinion, because there's so much content out there for learning a language. There's so many websites where it's possible to learn a language for free most of the time. So, you know, when you're telling people to pay for your content, it's kind of counterintuitive. It would be like the next time you go on YouTube, they ask you to pay to access. You'd be like, no, 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 it's free. And YouTube were like, yeah, well, hold on a second. We're hosting billions of gigabytes of videos for the whole freaking world. And, you know, yeah, we're monetizing it, whatever. But, you know, you're consuming content on here for free every day. Can't you at least pay a little bit? You'd be like, no, that's not the model. You're flipping the model that exists. I can go to another website like Dailymotion and I can get videos for free. Why would I pay you for it? Just because you think you're the biggest, because you think you're the best? You know, how arrogant is that? And second of all, somebody else will take your place. Somebody else will do better than what you're doing, YouTube. You know, you can think about your analogy as a language trainer. Somebody else is going to do better. Dailymotion is going to get bigger and they'll stay free. And so then you'll look like a fool because you asked people to pay and you lost everybody. Imagine Facebook asked people to pay today. It doesn't matter that it's the biggest freaking social network in the world. People will still go somewhere else. They'll still use something else. People are starting to use LinkedIn instead of Facebook already as their social network because people are posting. They're giving valuable content. There's news on there. You know, there's entertainment on there. People are moving over to Instagram because they only really want the videos and the images anyway. So rather just be on Instagram than on Facebook. So, you know, you start trying to package stuff and get people to pay for stuff that they can actually get for free. And you're saying, oh, no, but mine's better. Oh, the other stuff is bad and mine's better. I'm not so sure. There's a lot of stuff out there and a lot of it is very good. So forget about your content. And that fits into other points that Gary made too. You know, he made a point where he said, if you want to create a lot of content, he told this guy, you need to create 7 to 25 pieces of content a day. And of course, you know, this guy's mind is blown and he's thinking, no, that's a joke. You know, I'm not a media company. I can't do that. And he's like, no, but you have to. That's what it takes. So how are we going to do that? You don't go fancy. You don't think about creating content. You think in other ways. So for example, Gary records his days. He gets somebody to record his work day, and then that person cuts up the videos into like any little bits of advice that he gave during that day will go out as content onto LinkedIn, onto whatever. And so he's easily pushing out, you know, 20 bits of advice a day. So there's 20 bits of content coming out every day, and they're really valuable bits of content. So you can document. That was one of his points. So my advice for language trainers is, what can you document? Well, for me, it's pretty freaking obvious. Document your language courses. And I've said this before, record your language courses. Next time you have a student and you know that the class is going to be fun and interesting, but that there's going to be some genuine learning happening, and you know there's going to be real nuggets of great language learning information in there, advice about how to learn better, what websites to use, you know, a great homework activity that other people could replicate if they just see it, and you put like the PDF up afterwards with the video of the class, you know, document your classes. And then if you have time, cut them out. If you don't have time, then document a short class. So get somebody to come in for 30 minutes. Just do a quick fire 30-minute lesson, put the whole damn thing out. Don't worry about cutting it up. Don't be fancy. Just stick it out there on the internet and put it on YouTube, whatever. And then use that to show people what you're doing. Great lesson about the, I don't know, present perfect grammar, and it's fun, and you'll see present perfect like you've never seen it before. So you might think, oh, but that's my like premium stuff. Yeah, but everybody can, you know, people can copy that. People are already doing the same thing as what you're doing. They're already giving the same type of advice for grammar points and whatever. You're not that unique as a trainer, if you think about it. The way that you give advice, this is what I want to say. Okay, I want to be very specific there. You're not unique as a trainer about the content that you give, the way that you give it, right? You're just giving a grammar point to someone and telling them what the present perfect is. That's just, you're just reading what's in a book. I mean, even if you've personalized it and you've made it cool. I mean, I know because I wrote my own grammar book, but I know that the advice in that grammar book is not unique. It's just given in a unique way, but I don't see value in that necessarily. The value is in your support personally to that person. And so when people are seeing your classes, they do not have access to the value of actually being with you in that class. The person who's with you, they're going to be jealous of, because they've got to sit with you and actually have that intense support and that feeling of, yes, I feel like I'm learning because my brain is really engaged with this person because I like them and I want to socialize with them. I want to share my stories with them. And that feeling you can't get just from watching a YouTube video. So the video has no value. The class has value. And that's maybe the package that you're going to be selling is, you know, here, look at all the things that I'm doing. And if you want to actually do them with me, then you can. But obviously, I'm not going to sit on a Skype call with you for 30 minutes for free. That would be, you know, where's the business model? I wouldn't be able to pay my rent anymore because I'd have so many people asking me to do it. So you have to pay me something, or you have to go into a group if you don't want to pay a lot of money because I'm expensive. You have to go into a group and you're going to, you know, do five, let's say four or five. That's my kind of, in my experience, you see, I'm saying in my experience, not you should. Four or five people is a good size for a group. And more than that, when you start doing things like conf calls, video conferencing, Zoom calls, webinars, more than four or five people, they don't have enough time to talk because you're going to do it for 1 hour, 1.5 hours. So if you have eight people, they're not going to have enough time to talk. Each one of them, you might not be able to get each one of them to participate properly. So when you're doing your business model, try to base it around four or five people per group. And I think you can get away with pretty good hourly rates doing four or five people. So it shouldn't be a problem. Don't look at the big e-learning companies doing 100 people in a webinar or something like that. It's just, you know, it's tantamount to watching a video of you on YouTube doing your class, which I just said has no value monetarily because you're not getting the actual serious, key, unique value that you can get from sitting in a classroom or on a video conference with you, listening, asking questions, getting the right answers, feeling that support, you know, feeling somebody's interested in the stories you're telling in a foreign language. That's something that, and then having that scaffolding as well. And remember, that's the other point that you do as a teacher, that every teacher does, but that you're scaffolding their language. So when I'm telling you a story in Chinese, and I'm really bad at Chinese, so I don't know how to say even the word like, you know, he or something like that, that I'm able to tell you or indicate to you what I want to say, and you'll just give it to me. And then my story carries on. I get stuck again, and you give me another word, and my story carries on. And I feel like, oh my God, I was able to tell a story in Chinese. Like, this is amazing. And your brain is excited and fired up, and you're learning, right? So not that we can quantify it, but you're putting them in that scenario. You're putting them in that environment where you're doing the best you can to make learning happen, to make learning possible, to facilitate the maximum amount of learning. Those are the kind of things you can say. And that's your package. So you're saying, look at, you know, you're putting out videos and you're saying, look at what I'm doing in my classes. This is great, isn't it? Don't you want to have a bit of this yourself? And then part of the package, I think, that you're offering, the thing that's bankable, the things that's monetizable, is that you've got your personality. That's something that nobody can copy. The way you explain grammar, I can copy that. The way that you do your videos on Instagram, I can copy that. I just find out the software you used and I use the same emojis and the same graphics and whatever, and it doesn't matter. What you said on Instagram, I can literally go away and make a video saying exactly the same thing you just said on Instagram, and I'll push it on my Instagram. You know, where's the value in what you said? The value is in your personality. So, I know from my own experience of having looked at a lot of teachers on Instagram and LinkedIn and whatever, that there are ones who I just would click with. I would like, if I was learning Chinese, I would want to learn it with this person. If I was learning, I'm thinking, I know a French teacher who's just, I've seen her on YouTube a lot, and it's just this personality that clicks with me. And if I had her in front of me, there would be real learning happening, because I would be so excited about telling her my stories. I would be excited about learning about her. It's a kind of person I think must have a lot of stories, really interesting background, travel situation, whatever. And you'd be guaranteed to get hours and hours and hours out of great content out of that, that the every hour you would spend with that person, the environment would be totally a learning environment. It would just be infused with learning potential. Whereas if I go on to iTalki and I hire a teacher who's in, the United States, and I've never met them and I just see a picture of them, I might spend a few hours with them before realizing this is not really somebody I click with. And at that point, it's going to be all business. At that point, you're going to reduce it down to the product that I've paid for is just somebody like a robot, just to repeat grammar lessons to me and repeat vocabulary lessons and to ask me questions, but to not really care about the answers. Like, that's the worst thing. Is if somebody asks me a question like, so what are you doing in your job? And I'm like, oh, I'm excited to tell them. And I tell them and they're like, okay, so let's move on to the next activity. Like, God, I really want to make a connection with you. That's what I want as a language learner. And I know I have felt that with my language learners as a teacher, that they were so excited to share stuff with me. They were excited to learn things from me. When I was telling them stories about stuff that I've studied or things that I've done that objectively are boring because it's kind of my passions, and I'm really interested in etymology, I'm really interested in European, French, British history, I'm really interested in computer stuff, even like computer games, and I would maybe I would tell them a story, but it would be in a way that they would be learning a lot about my personality. I would be telling them a bit about my journey. And there was another point that Gary made, was telling people about your journey is way, way better than telling people your advice, because your journey becomes the advice. And Gary's journey is a really interesting journey that becomes the advice. When you listen to his story, you realize what's possible. You realize what you wouldn't be prepared to do as well. Listening to Gary, working 16 hours a day, you're like, okay, I would not be prepared to do that. Listening to Gary when he says he gets excited when he goes from one meeting straight into another meeting, straight into another meeting with no breaks. That gets him fired up. I'm like, okay, that's not me. So it's great listening to other people's stories. Tell other people about your language learning journey. Here's a point. What if your experience that you're sharing with people is when you learned a language? Because you're probably sitting in a foreign country right now. I'm sitting in France. I learned French. I have a German wife, and I learned German to speak with her family, with my family-in-law. You probably learned a language. Talk about that process. Talk about the difficulties you faced at the beginning, how you managed to succeed, what sort of psychological difficulties you faced. If you start telling people about your psychological difficulties, you're accessing a part of language training that's not really documented, about the real serious like self-esteem issues, self-confidence issues, traumatisms you faced when you were a kid in school, stuff like that. If you talk about that and how that influenced your language training, if you really open and just a totally open, honest book about this stuff, that will become the advice. Because I might not share your self-esteem issues, but I might have shared one of your horrible experiences when you were a kid learning in school. The teacher told you you were crap for whatever reason. So there is some advice in there. And talking about the journey could be a really great way to get new followers and get engagement and get people to realize that if they talk to you on a one-on-one basis, it's going to really, really help them learn the language that they really want to learn. So think about that. Think about, what are you going to say in this free content that you're going to put out there? What is it that's encased in? What's the vessel? What's the product that people are going to buy? So it has to be something with real value. Are you going to have someone you're going to work with who's going to do the business side of your deal? Or are you going to do it all by yourself? Can you maybe do something in a partnership in the future? I thought that was a good point too. Can you distribute other people's stuff? Can you look up other people who are doing language training and distribute their stuff and give your own take on it, put your own activities to it, etc.? You don't have to do everything by yourself. You can use the tons of content that's out there and reshare a lot of stuff. Like, that's one way of doing it too. try to think about the different possibilities. And if you want to chat about it, you know, get in touch with me on LinkedIn. I'm hopefully going to do this course, maybe where we can have a proper talk about it in groups. So let's keep the conversation going. Don't just flake out and think this is interesting, but I'll just, you know, keep going my own way. Start answering some of these questions and just getting inquisitive, and maybe it'll have an impact. Thanks a lot for listening.